I'm going to apologize right off the bat. I'm having some allergy problems today, so I'm sucking on some candy that Matt gave me because I forgot my cough drops. So if I cough, please forgive me. If we could, turn to Ephesians chapter 3 today. Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 14 through 21 together. Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 14, it says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with the might of his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints which is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all fullness of God. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church of Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." I love all books of the Bible, but I love especially the book of Ephesians. It's such a practical book. And then the first three chapters, Paul is talking about what our motivation is, who we are in Christ, who Christ is. And then in the chapters four and on, he begins to give us illustrations of how we should take these things that we know about God and implement them into our lives. And I've done this study before about prayer. And this time I'm focusing a little bit. I entitled this study, "So Much More." There is so much more for us, and we'll develop that as we go through. But the Apostle Paul is going through, he's in prison. He's probably chained to a Roman guard. And he's writing this to the churches in Ephesus and around that area to encourage them and to remember who they are and who they used to be and who they are now in Christ. How we were sinners, deserving of death and hell, and because of Christ and his love and putting your trust in him, that we are new creatures now, and this is how we should behave. And he wants them to really understand and grasp what's going on spiritually in their lives. Sometimes in this world, we're just so stuck on the material things, the physical things, that we forget about all of the wonderful things that we have through Christ, the workings of God and on the things that we cannot see. I love the Apostle Paul because he, right here, he says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." He is praying to God, please help them to understand these things. Please work in their lives. Please do that. And again, you got to remember, he's in prison and he's doing the same for himself. And he just wants to impart, as an apostle, the love of God to them. You know, I was kind of fascinated because on the Committed to Christ, we kind of talked about love thy Lord, thy God with all the heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love others also. That was our second study. And I started really thinking about that. The love of Christ is just, and God is just throughout the epistles. I mean, it's just saturated, especially in Ephesians. And I'm so excited to talk to you about that today. But Paul's faith was so deeply rooted in who Christ is and what he had done for us that he prays that he might be able to communicate it to others and that they might share it with others. And that's what we're doing today. For 2,000 years, these have gone out. I'm so thankful for God's word that we might study it to know it. It was written to us also, just as it was written to those churches in that area of Ephesus. And so I want us to focus today and just think about how we pray, who we pray for, but mostly today to focus on what God has done for us, how much he loves us, and what we need to do with that. In verse 13, it says, "Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." He didn't want them to focus on those things that were going on around them or so much as worry about him either. He's saying, "I'm okay. God loves me. This is going to work out, and it's going to work out for you too." And he's giving them a little reminder. So I just have five things I want to share with you. There's so much in here interrelated, but I'm going to just pick out five things. As you'll see, as we just read through verses 14 through 21, all persons of the Trinity are represented, God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it's so great to think about the triune God and working in our lives. Every single personality is working in and through our lives so that we can be able to serve him. The first one is that we would be made strong. We would be strengthened or made strong in the inner man in verse 16. Verse 16, that we would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with the might by his Spirit in the inner man. We are divinely, as soon as we are saved, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does so much for us. He indwells us. He helps us with our faith, according to 2 Corinthians 4:13. It also says he's a spirit of wisdom, a spirit of grace. There's many aspects of the Holy Spirit within there that says that everything that he does with us, he seals us, as I said, and it talks about that in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. He is our intercessor, also it talks about in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. The Holy Spirit is constantly working behind the scenes in us and through us to enable us to do what we need to do. And when you think about that, strengthen on the inner man, it's who we really are on the inside. It's not just this facade. It's who we are. God created. We are created in his image. He gave us life, spiritual life. And we need to be strengthened in our spiritual life before the physical life can manifest itself in the proper way to honor God. And he's asking them, please be strengthened in the inner spirit by the Spirit. So we talked about that a little bit. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't do those things that would, of course, the Holy Spirit never leaves us, but to push the Holy Spirit aside, don't listen to him. Don't let him work in and through his word. When you don't read his word, the Holy Spirit can't use God's word to help and strengthen us on the inner, as the inner person. I was thinking about this, the Holy Spirit's power, and what a dynamic example that we have with Peter. You know, remember Peter, when he was walking the earth with Christ, he was all excitable and he wanted to do, go get it kind of guy. And then when it came right down to it, at Christ's crucifixion, what did he do? He denied him. But he didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit. And the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit came, he boldly preached. Thousands of people were saved, put their faith and trust in Christ. And it wasn't Paul's great ability to speak. It was the Holy Spirit helping Peter to speak. And I thought, man, that's what I need. I need to be strengthened by the inner man by the Holy Spirit. That's what we need also. Turn over to John chapter 16. And this is this example, again, of the Comforter. And we're very familiar with this. But starting in verse 12, Jesus has been with the disciples many years, well, approximately 3 years. And he's starting to reveal his plan to them. He hasn't revealed a lot of his plan to exactly what's going to happen to him. But here, he's starting to reveal a little bit it's going to happen. And he says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. The Holy Spirit was going to come and help comfort them, and he did exactly what he said from the day of Pentecost on. There's no way that the apostles could have got through all of the problems that they had if they weren't strengthened in the inner man by the Holy Spirit. I can't imagine going through that much grief. Why would you? Why would you do all that stuff for a man that wasn't God? I mean, they fully believed and understood who Jesus Christ was and what he had done. And now they were starting to live it out. See, we need that strengthening to get through certain things. You know, Hebrews 5 talks about we need to grow spiritually. And it talks about the need to grow spiritually because there is so much more to learn. He says, I am giving you milk in Hebrews when you should be having meat, a more substantial understanding of God's word, that you need to grow. But that growth comes from being strengthened in the inner man by the Holy Spirit. So Paul was praying for them that they might be strengthened. Strengthened. The second thing is that Christ might dwell, if you look in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye be rooted and grounded in love. There's a progression in this prayer. The Holy Spirit ministers to us, takes God's word, and helps us to understand it. Now, we're going to talk about that we might understand, that Christ might dwell in us, and we would understand his love. And the next point is comprehend, but I want to get this first one, talk about this first one, that he would dwell. At the moment of salvation, you know, we receive the Holy Spirit and we are saved. Now, the word dwell has the implication of at ease, that Christ will be in us at ease, that he will find comfort with us at ease. And I was just thinking about this. We have acquaintances and we have friends, and then we have our circle of trust. The circle of trust friends are those ones that we'll invite over anyway, even though the house is not clean. That's how I was thinking about it. You know what I mean? Because they know who you really are. They know that you don't care. You don't care what they think of you because you're at ease with each other. You know, the old joke, you know, want to get the house clean, invite people over, so you have to do it. But when those circle of trust friends can come over at any time, and it's okay. And that's how God wants us to feel about Jesus in our life, the Holy Spirit in our life, that it would be comfortable. If he were to walk through the doors right now, how would you feel? Would you be scared, nervous? No, I'd be scared because, well, yeah. If he was to return right now, I'd be very excited. But it gives us dwell in our hearts that we would be at ease. Our relationship with him is so close that we look forward to seeing him. You know, as a kid, when you used to kind of sneak around, I know none of you did. I did. I know that, but not too much. But, you know, you were always kind of nervous looking over your shoulder like, okay, am I going to get busted? Am I going to get in trouble? Am I doing something wrong? You know, when I was watching something on TV, you'd get real close to the screen and just get ready for when your parents come to switch the channel. That's not what Christ wants. He wants to dwell in your hearts by faith, that you may be rooted and grounded in love. It should be a comfortable setting. Now, rooted and grounded in love. I was fascinated by this, and rooted and grounded. We know what rooted and grounded means. You know, you think of a giant tree. I have two giant redwoods in my backyard. I only have a 4,800 square foot lot, and I have 200 foot redwoods. I don't know why, but that's just there, and I didn't want to pay to cut them down. So I have these, and the redwoods are one of those trees that they just grow super tall, and the reason that they can is their roots go straight down into the ground. They tap deep into the earth. I have another tree in the front yard that's just, Matt had one in his front yard too, where all the roots just went on top, and it's just like, if you get a good soak, it could tip over. But the redwoods have this deep root, and that's why they're able to grow so much. And we think about those things. When you know that someone loves you, you know, just even like my son, I told you about this. I want him to be able to call me. And he called me right away when he wrecked his truck. And I said, are you okay? He knows that no matter what, I'm going to be there for him. I may say, you know, get mad a little bit and not always control my temper as well as I should. But he knows that I'm there. He's going to call me because I'm there to help him. I love him. I'm going to put my all and effort in to making sure that he is okay. And that's the way that we should understand who God is, that Christ's love is there for us. It gives us the motivation to do things. As we go through life, when we run into those little hiccups, I'm so thankful that my wife loves me and I love her because I can get through things easier with the two of us working together. She can encourage me when I'm down. She can lift me up. But the first of all, that we need to remember that Christ is there, and no matter what, he will never leave or forsake me. Even if this life, if we just were one of the martyrs and we had to go through the horrible things in life, we know that he loves us and that the worst thing that we can suffer is physical death. And we're spiritually alive and we will get a new body one day and we will be with him for all eternity. It doesn't get any better than that. We need to understand that. We're grounded in that. Now, the rooted is that's deep in us. We understand it fully and completely, or trying to at least. And then the grounded is to keep us from moving. So when those things come, it doesn't push us out of the way. It was kind of funny. I was fascinated. We played this game called clothespin tag. And you had to put clothespins on your shirt like that. And that's the tag was try to get clothespins, and you got to add it to yours. Well, all of a sudden, and you know, you never know how a game's going to work out, right? The competitive spirit of people. But all of a sudden, from grabbing a clothespin goes to grabbing an arm to grabbing a clothespin, or to, you know what I mean? It's that competitive spirit comes out and it's just pushing and shoving and on and on. And that's how life treats us sometimes, is you're just getting pushed around and things come into your life in and out. And then, but when you're grounded in God's love, you know that he loves you, then it makes everything. I had this little example from being grounded, but I was just thinking about it. It's your yard again. Matt has this on the side of his yard in the front. He has a new tree that's planted. And you know, when the new tree is planted, you always put a stake in there and you tie it around with something that won't cut into it or anything too much. But every time the wind or it gets soaked, it's like this. You know what I mean? Because it's a new tree and it's not rooted and grounded into the earth. And so you prop it back up again. And then you tie the stick around it. But when you don't have, when you're using the wrong things to prop up the tree or prop up our life and try to go through books, self-help books, or through people to find our stability and love, it doesn't work. And just like his stick, I said, hey, I don't have a ladder high enough to get the stick long enough to get to pound it into the ground. See, when it's man things, those always fail. But when it's God's stick, it's God's rooting and grounding, that's when it becomes real. And I was thinking about that. We talk about that no reckon and yield. See, we need to take God's word, learn it, know God's word. But there's people in this world that don't have even close to a relationship with God, but have the Bible probably memorized. But if you don't know it and then reckon it to be truth, that is truth, it's not just a book to be memorized. And then when you yield and trust it, that's when the growth really happens. And that's when you know God. Now, verse 18, the third thing is comprehend. To grasp, to mentally be able to better understand the love of Christ. It gives us a desire to love him back. He wanted them he wants them to know the love of Christ. Ephesians 5:2, and again in Ephesians, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Romans 5:8, but God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. See, when we think about those things, we need to understand what I can tell you God loves you. Okay, that sounds nice. But when you read God's word and realize how he showed his love to you, That's where the preciousness comes from. We need to know God's word to understand, to comprehend that. We get that through God's word. I don't quote people too often, but I'm going to quote Charles Spurgeon. I'm going to read what he wrote on this. He just gave it that richness. Sometimes he gets a little flowery for me, but this is really rich. It says, "The love of Christ in its sweetness, its fullness, its greatness, its faithfulness passes all human comprehension. Where shall language be found which shall describe his matchless, his unparalleled love towards the children of men? It is so vast and boundless that as swallow but skimmeth the water and diveth not into its depth, so all descriptive words must touch the surface while depths immeasurably lie beneath. Well might say the poet, O love, thou fathomless abyss." The Fathomless Abyss is a hymn from the 1830s. I kind of looked it up and read it. I didn't want to bring it in, so I'll continue with this little side note there. I guess we didn't need. But "for this love of Christ is indeed measureless and fathomless. None can attain unto it. Before we can have any right idea of the love of Jesus, we must understand his previous glory in its height of majesty and its incarnation upon the earth in all its depth of shame. But who can tell us the majesty of Christ? When he was enthroned in the highest heavens, he was very God of very God. By him were the heavens made and all the hosts thereof. His own almighty arm upheld the spheres. The praise of cherubim and seraphim perpetually surrounded him. The full course of the hallelujahs of the universe unceasingly flowed to the foot of his throne. He reigned supreme above all his creatures, God over all, blessed forever. Who can tell his height of glory then, and who, on the other hand, can tell how low he descended? To be a man was something. To be a man of sorrows was much more. To bleed and die and suffer, these were much for him who was the Son of God. But to suffer such unparalleled agony, to endure a death of shame and desertion by his Father, this is the depth of condescending love, which the most inspired mind must utterly fail to fathom. Herein is love, and truly that it is love that passeth knowledge. Oh, let this love fill our hearts with adoring gratitude and lead us to practical manifestations of its power." It's one of those things that's so hard to grasp, but you just know it to a point. But I think that we, to fully understand it, we need to be in his word, to love Christ, the love that is everlasting, real, and meaningful. It is the love of God towards us. It's the love that adopted us, made us accepted into the beloved, redeemed us, provided an inheritance, sealed us, quickened us, raised us, seated us in the heavenly with Christ Jesus. That's love. That is the ultimate example of love and how we should love others also. We must not stray from his love. Now, again, I'm going to just think about this. What happens when we stray from his love? Now, this was written, this is to the church in Ephesus. But if you turn to Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, later down the line, in the later pre-100 ADs, he's telling them, you lost your first love. Here, Paul was praying that they might understand the depth of Christ's love and not lose that love. But again, he gave them a great warning to not do that. We need to comprehend that. Some of us older Christians, and I don't mean just in age, sometimes we can lose that love, forget that love. We just become religious. You know, when I was talking about in Mark chapter 12 about to love thy Lord thy God with all the heart, mind, strength, and soul, here, these people were representing, as we're supposed to be representing God here on earth, the Pharisees and Sadducees. And here they're just, they become so sanctimonious and so condescending and so self-righteous. And they're questioning God himself. What's the greatest commandment? Trying to trick him. And then he gave those two things. You can hang the whole law on those two things. And if that's not a slap in the face, I don't know what could be. It's such a simple thing when we read that scripture, but they were so deeply ingrained in their own self-righteousness. I don't think they got it. I don't think they got it. Don't do that. Fourth thing is filled with fullness. That's a great, great one. Filled with fullness. And to know the love of Christ with passes knowledge that he might be filled with all the fullness of God. Filled with fullness. It kind of sounds silly, but it works. And it's a great thing. That we might attain, know, and be filled with all that God is. God gives us the power to do everything that he wants us to do. Think about that. No matter what, if he has a will and purpose for you and wants it to do it, he will make it happen. He will give you those things that you will need. We need, I just wrote that, filled with who God is. Who he is, his virtue, his holiness, his love, his wisdom, his greatness. All of those things that Christ is the example to us for, that there is so much to God. And again, it's hard to define. How do you define Christ's love for you? Well, you look to his word. But to grasp everything that he is, grasp everything that God is extremely hard. We've been talking about Genesis chapter 1. Pastor Gary's been going through Genesis chapter 3 and things like in Genesis 1 through 3. And when you start thinking about, okay, God just, he was before anything. Okay, that kind of trips my mind right there. There was God before anything. And then to think that he just spoke into existence the universe, us, he created us in his image. It's hard to fathom that. That he has those abilities and to incorporate it into our lives, to trust him to get through our lives full of faith and to continue to do it and to trust him no matter what. And to have the right attitude about there is no good or bad other than when we're sinning, but life is a series of learning and lessons, and sometimes those things that we don't like is for our benefit, and that we need to do that. But we need to understand that we need to be, like I said, filled with his fullness. That we need to understand and incorporate and be strengthened by the inner man to comprehend God's love. Every day we kind of need to go through this checklist in our mind. Okay, I'm not feeling good. The older I get, the harder it is to get out of bed. I got to make myself get out of bed. And it's just amazing. And I was thinking about this. His knowledge is so important. To know him is so important. I got up this morning, and I was just thinking, I thought, what a great analogy. But I got up this morning, had to use the restroom, and one of my dogs comes out of our, we have a walk-in closet. One of the dogs comes out of it, and she's just stressed to the max. Her head's kind of wet, I don't know, from slobber or whatever. And she's, and I'm trying not to wake up Carlin. I'm like, okay, come on, let's go. You're whispering, let's go. And you can just tell she's stressed, and she's just right there with me. She will not leave my side. And our bedroom's upstairs, so, and then the other dog hears us, and they'll click, click, click. Okay, come on, go, come on. And so I go downstairs, and she is just on me, all over, and I can't figure it out. So I go to sit down at my desk. It's 5:30 in the morning, and I start to study, and she just pushes her way past my legs to get under the desk right there. And I'm thinking, what in the world? And then Cole is down against the wall, laying right by me, against the wall. And it's, is there something outside? And then I hear a beep, beep, smoke alarm in Haley's bedroom. The battery's going dead. I didn't hear it. But then I got to thinking, it's funny, is here's something for our safety that the dogs don't know that it's for their safety. They don't understand safety. Is beeping. And it's literally driving, I mean, it's stress.com for her. Her eyes are bulged out and everything else. See, she doesn't understand the big picture. She doesn't understand that that's there for her safety. She just knows that there's a noise that she doesn't know where it's coming from. So I go in there, take the cover off, flip it off, put him on the chair. 20 minutes later, it's all good. And I thought, this is a picture of my life sometimes. We don't see that big picture. We just know something's driving us nuts. We don't understand it, but we just go right into panic mode. We need to not do that. We need to fully understand the fullness of God, of His picture, of His sovereignty, of His abilities, and to trust in that, put our trust on a daily basis. I'm doing good on time. He knows so much better than us. Brent said something the other night that I think all of the time, and it was great. When you think about the providence of God or the sovereignty of God and His power, think of 5 billion people on the earth that He is keeping track of, and every thought that they have, every action that they have, everything that they do is He is managing to do providentially to make it to His glory. Every second, every hour, every day. That's pretty full. I'm amazed by that. That is pretty full. I can't even remember. I can't find my keys 15 minutes after I just had them in my hand. I can't do it. So the last one, number 5, is so much more. So much more. Verses 20 and 21, it says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm sorry. My page blew over. It says, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Exceeding abundantly. Two big words that mean a lot. I think sometimes we use these words in wrong context because we don't quite have the fullness of everything. We just aren't talking about the fullness. As we go through our lives, and we're all at different places in our spiritual walk with the Lord, and we're all growing, and sometimes we're way ahead, not ever achieving, of course, because we can't, but sometimes we're way ahead, sometimes we're way behind. There's new believers, old believers. We're all in different walks of our life. But sometimes, unfortunately, we get in the mode that we got it figured out. Sometimes God's word just all seems the same. Okay, I got enough of that. I can get through my life. And like I mentioned earlier, there's people that have the whole Bible memorized. But if you don't incorporate it and you don't understand it through God's eyes, then it's no good. The other thing is our lives change on a daily basis, and how God's word incorporates in that every aspect of your life is very important. And we need to remember, even Paul was saying, you know, Paul would say, these things that I shouldn't be doing, I do. Here's Paul, taught of Christ in the desert, you know, has all of the Old Testament memorized, you know, the Jew of the Jews, the Hebrew of the Hebrews, you know, all these great titles, and here he did it. And he always thought so. He was so humble about it. I am the least of the apostles. I am, and he has more writing than anyone else. It does, but that doesn't make him better, just God used him in a different way. But he knew that there was so much more for him to learn. Don't become tired with God. Don't become bored with God. Don't push God away because you think, I got this. Because that's why he's telling all this. I'm praying that these people would understand the love of God, that they might be strengthened, they might be strong, they might be able to do all of these things, that they might understand who God is. If he can speak the universe into existence, he can handle your problem. And you know, the hard part is it is impossible to please God without faith. That's all he really wants from us. And that's the thing I feel like I do the least. You know, God gave me this brain and a mouth, and I can figure it out. I can make this happen. I can do these things. God doesn't really care. I can do these things. I don't need to look to him. It's just live my life. He's given me the experience. Over and over again, he shows his mercy. We must grasp the truth of God's word and trust him. He can do anything he wants and wills. Because of who he is and what he has done, we just glorify him with all that we can do with thankfulness in our heart. And that's the key to everything is thankfulness, I think. Thankfulness. I've really tried to incorporate being thankful in my own life, and that's what I'm saying. I need strengthening of my inner man through the Holy Spirit to be thankful. I need to ask God for help. But then I know that he will help me, and that is his will for me. So I need to use the mind that he gave me and make conscious decisions to be thankful. Pass us knowledge. That's how we need to live our daily lives. And there is so much more to God than we can even fathom. There is so much more. You know, like I said, the first part of my life, I did not live for the Lord. I regret every moment of that. Every moment, I regret it. I don't let it hold me back. It just inspires me, motivates me to do more, to live every day for the Lord. Now, again, I fail every time. Every time I say, okay, I'm going to speak kindly to my children or my wife all the time. I'm going to speak kindly to my coworkers. I'm going to speak kindly to this. I'm going to do this. And then all of a sudden, 10 minutes later, oh, can't get it back in. But when I go to the Lord, Lord, help me. I can't do this. I know you can help me. I need your help. Your word tells me that I am supposed to do these things, be thankful. Then, and only then, will it happen. Now again, will I fail? Absolutely. But when I rely on the Lord more and more, that is the growth that I have. He is able to do it. And I just as the Apostle Paul shared with the churches in Ephesus, I want to encourage us as Grace Bible Church to incorporate these things in our life, to be strengthened by the Spirit of the inner man. That Christ would dwell in our hearts and that we would be rooted and grounded in his love. That we would comprehend the love of God. That we would be filled with all the fullness of God. That we would do those things, those Christ-like qualities, that we would work on those. And that realize there is so much more for us to learn. Be excited about that. Remember when there was a subject in school that you just loved or something that you just love? I can kind of talk to different people about those things that you love. You pursue it passionately. Adam, surfing. I know nothing about it. I've gone out 3 times. It was hard for me just to paddle out, let alone get up on the board and ride a wave in. But I know Adam's passionate about surfing. And if I wanted to learn about surfing, I could go to Adam and I'm sure he would show me and it would be great. And he's passionate about that. He knows about it. Do you see what I'm saying? There's so much more for us to learn. God is always there to help us to learn to grow towards him. And I'm so thankful for that. I want to have a childlike faith still, where I am always wanting and to grow and to learn. I want to know how to do these things. As you get older and everything starts to stiffen and stuff, you're like, nah, let's just let it go. Yeah. God is good. I'm thankful that we can have a relationship with him. I'm thankful that we do have a relationship with him. I'm thankful for fellow believers to gather together. I'm thankful for just God, that there is a God and that he loves us. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again, as we dwell upon your word, Lord, I just pray that we would make ourselves available to daily give our lives to you as a living sacrifice, our bodies, to daily look to you, to daily want to glorify you, to daily understand your love for us, to daily to be thankful. I just pray, Lord, that as we go about our lives, that we wouldn't just put the face of that we are Christians on, but we would be true followers or disciples of you, and that as we go throughout this life, that we would glorify you, and that through that we would live our lives to shine for you, and that we would magnify you, and that we would tell others about you. I just, again, thank you for this opportunity, and I just pray that you would prepare our hearts and minds for our next service as we learn more about you and have the opportunity to praise you through song. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.